From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kasell. And here's your host at Powell Hall in St. Louis, Missouri, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. We got a great show for you today. Jackie Joyner-Kersee, four-time Olympian and a proud daughter of East St. Louis. We'll be here later to see if she can win the gold in our sport. But first, what an honor to be back in St. Louis. It's great. It's a particular honor for us in our business because St. Louis, don't know if you know this, home of the first radio station west of the Mississippi. This is where it all started, radio here. Just imagine Lewis and Clark. They pull out of town. They head west. The signal gets all staticky. They end up trying to hold Sacagawea up in the air to try to get better reception. So radio started in St. Louis. Today we will see if we can end it. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. It's Christine from Alpharetta, Georgia.
Christine from Alpharetta. Alpharetta, I've heard of it. I've never been there.
It's Latin for first town.
Was it in fact the first town?
I don't think that's true, but that is the prominence the forefathers wish it had.
Oh, I see. So you're living a lie, is what you're saying. Well, welcome to the show, Christine. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's a comedian from Chicago. You can hear in the next episode of the Nerdette podcast. It's Brian Babylon.
Hey, hey, Christine, how are you? Thank you.
Next, the senior editor and columnist for the Houston Chronicle, Kerry O'Connor, is here.
Hey, Christine.
And lastly, a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of My Grandmother's Ravioli on the Cooking Channel, Mo Rocca, is here.
Hi, Christine.
Christine, it's great to have you with us. You're going to start us off with Who's Bill this time, of course. Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kasell, is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you win your prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine device, voicemail, whatever you got. Ready to play?
I am.
Excellent. Let's go. Here is your first quote.
Legalistic argle bargle.
That was Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia's angry dissent in a case, a big case, about what?
The Defense of Marriage Act?
Yes, very good. The Defense of Marriage Act, gay marriage. Ooh, gosh. A bare majority of the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government could not discriminate against same-sex married couples. And Justice Scalia, in the minority, stood proudly for the proposition that, yes, they can. After angrily disapproving of alternative lifestyles, Justice Scalia retired to his chambers, where he and eight other people in robes worship a 200-year-old piece of parchment.
You said a bare majority, but Antonin Scalia is one angry bear daddy.
He
wow.
is.
Does this mean I have to get married?
Yes. Yes, we all have to get gay married right now. Sorry. It's the law. They said so, the Supreme Court.
Now, this was a big week for the Supreme Court. Do you think when they do their sweeps week kind of decisions? Because this is pretty much just sweeps week.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
This is when they sell their advertising rates for the next session.
It's
very important. Scalia, in his very angry dissent, called, as you heard, the decision striking down DOMA, Argle Bargle. Joining him in the decision were the Hamburglar, who called it Rubble Rubble, and a teacher from Charlie Brown, who said, wah, 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 wah. Now, as you were saying, what they did in this case was they struck down the Defense of Marriage Act that was passed back in 1996, when it was utterly unthinkable that gays could ever get married, but people worried they might someday, so they passed a law. At the time, it was a little bit like passing a law called the Defense Against the World Champion Chicago Cubs Act.
They say Bill Clinton really feels bad about that. I can't believe I did that.
He says that about a lot of things.
It's
really not. It was in other big news at the Supreme Court. They also struck down the Voting Rights Act, a decision which upset everybody in America except Paula Deen. Why do they wait to the end to do the big cases? I mean, it's obvious they're just trying to generate suspension interest in the Supreme Court.
Leave them wanting more.
Show business. They should do it like, you know, how you would wait to see if you made the school play. It's like going to be pinned up in the hallway,
right,
and then everyone rushes around the bulletin board and like, gay marriage, civil rights, damn, I didn't make it.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
I won't be scrambling jets to get a 29-year-old hacker.
That was President Obama talking about what he wasn't willing to do to capture whom?
Edward Snowden.
Very good. Yes, Edward Snowden. This is what happened. It is a great and true story. So in Snowden, who is in Hong Kong somewhere, he flees Hong Kong. He goes to Moscow, that cradle of liberty, and he announces he's getting on a plane to Cuba. So all these journalists who are chasing him buy tickets for the Aeroflot flight to Havana he's supposed to be on, and they get on the plane, and they're looking around for him, and they're waiting, and then all of a sudden the attendants close the doors, and the plane takes off, and Snowden's not on it. Adios, suckers!
And then apparently Vladimir Putin's like, I don't have time for these things, you know.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
Because, you know, I steal Super Bowl rings, man. I got time to.
Yeah.
Or about spies.
See, I think that's what we should do, a trade-off, you know.
Right.
You send Snowden back, you get to keep the ring.
Oh, he's going to keep the ring, Kerry. There's nothing new about that.
Isn't he trying to get to Ecuador?
Yeah, the rumor is that he wants to get to Ecuador, but it is true. Snowden is apparently in the Russian airport. Mm. And this is hilarious. He's the most famous fugitive in the world. We know exactly what his name is, what he looks like, and where he is. And the USA still can't get him.
He's at the Cinnabon.
It's like, oh, we can't go in there. He's in the duty-free store, and we don't have an international boarding pass, says the CIA. It's Snowden's just in there, you know, he's stuck in there. He's like subsisting on big Toblerone bars and bottles of Drakkar Noir. That's all he's got.
We had much better success catching that red panda.
Yes.
Much better at that. Because we remembered to revoke his passport.
All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
You should all take off your jackets. I'm going to do the same. It's not that sexy.
That was President Obama talking about just how hot it was at his speech that was appropriately about what?
Global warming?
Yes, climate change. Very good. So this week, President Obama, in the middle of everything else going on, gave a major speech on climate change and about how his administration is going to make all these efforts to curb it, and nobody cared. The only cable channel that broadcast his speech in its entirety was, seriously, the Weather Channel. They were like, finally! They didn't even know what it was about. It had climate in the title. Let's broadcast it. And then they broadcast this news story in their usual manner. They had a guy in a poncho standing in front of the president saying, sorry, I can barely hear myself over the sound of the speech going on all around here.
Well, he probably was a little bit more charismatic than our friend Al Gore. Because what was that docu-snooze that he had?
That was called An Inconvenient Truth, Brian.
Oh, or Ambien.
Nobody, climate change is going to kill us all, and nobody cares. How do you make...
Well, it won't kill you if you can swim. Maybe if we didn't all breathe so heavily.
Just sort of more shallow breath?
Just
yeah.
Yeah.
I blame the mouth breathers.
Bill, how did Christine do in our quiz?
I bet Christine wishes this was on television after those three questions. She did great. Awesome. Won them all.
Well done, Christine. Thank you so much for playing, Christine. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We want to remind everybody that you can join us most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, and you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, this week, Texas State Senator Wendy Davis filibustered for 13 hours, preventing the Texas legislature from passing an anti-abortion bill. For now, the secret to her success, everybody agrees, was her what?
Is this her tennis shoes?
Her running shoes.
Her pink running shoes.
Very good. There's dressing for success, and then there's dressing for standing straight up for 13 hours without even being able to lean on anything, let alone go to the bathroom. Seriously, those are the rules for a filibuster in the Texas Senate. Her Mizuno running shoes were comfortable, well padded, and had a hidden reservoir in the heels for an emergency session, if you know what I mean.
I'm trying to think, like, what shoes would be the worst to filibuster in.
Have you ever worn 4-inch heels?
Yes, but no, not to filibuster. No, the point shoes. It would be really cool to watch a ballerina on point filibuster.
That'd be true. Now, I know it's probably annoying to Wendy Davis and her supporters that she did this incredibly difficult, principled thing to stand against this abortion bill that she wanted to defeat. And we're just talking about her shoes. But I hope she doesn't worry because, man, she is pretty.
Well, didn't the handsome Rick Perry call her a show horse or something? He called her like
he called her a show horse.
He did call her a show horse.
But he followed it up with "Oops."
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kassel. We're playing this week with Mo Rocca, Kerry O'Connor, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at Powell Hall in St. Louis, Missouri, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Bradley Patrick from Denver, Colorado.
From Denver. How are things in Denver?
Hot.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere it is these days. What do you do there in Denver?
I pass gas for a living.
You pass gas for a living?
Yes. I'm a nurse anesthetist, so I do anesthesia.
You prepared that line just for us, didn't you?
It's funny.
It's frightening to be known, isn't it? Well, welcome to the show, Bradley. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Bradley's topic?
Take that, Bloomberg.
You think New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg's soda bans and forced composting are bad? Wait until you hear about a new government attempt to control citizens' lives. Our panelists are going to read you three stories about a government that is really trying, or considering trying, to out-Bloomberg Bloomberg. Guess the true nanny state program and you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Yeah.
First, let's hear from Kerry O'Connor.
It all began when little Braden Castaldi took a hard line drive to the shoulder, but it soon escalated. When 50 mothers showed up at the Harwinton, Connecticut town council meeting, it got serious. Baseballs were just too dangerous, the mothers told town officials. They should be banned before someone really gets hurt. Cowed by maternal ire, the council voted 6-2 to ban the throwing or hitting of baseballs within town lines. For the volunteer baseball coaches, this posed a problem. Here's Bob Ducker, coach of the Ace Hardware Hammers. We tried gym balls, but they were sluggish, he said. Water balloons popped on contact. Ping pong balls couldn't make it over the plate. Oranges were a huge, gooey mistake. Then Ducker had an idea. They'd still have real games, but with an imaginary ball. Here's how it works. The two coaches meet a half hour before the game to choreograph the game. When a kid gets to the plate, he's told whether he'll get a hit that turn. Every team practiced making the sound of a solid hit. It's been kind of a success, said the astonished Ducker. My wife calls it ballet ball, but the games are all kind of close, and everybody's a good player. And no bloody noses is a very, very big deal.
A baseball league with no baseballs, because that would be safer. The next story of a government getting too big for its britches comes from Brian Babylon.
On June 22nd, each resident of Nicasio, California, received a box filled with a custom-made Ewok costume and a set of instructions. The reason? Nearby resident George Lucas was getting married. The man responsible for Star Wars had finally found his Princess Leia, the Amidala to his Anakin, the Jar Jar Binks to his Chewbacca. The idea was for residents of Nicasio, California, to dress up as Ewoks and create for Lucas and his new bride the celebration scene at the end of the film Return of the Jedi. Says Nicasio Town Executive Abigail Wood, quote, "It was the least we could do. To paraphrase Obi-Wan, we wanted them to feel as if a million voices suddenly cried out in happiness." Though Lucas did not come out and ask for the Ewok celebration, Wood said, he did send her a note saying how nice it would be if the people in the town would be as happy as, quote, "as the residents of Endor were the day the Empire fell," and included a note with the number of Lucasfilm's costume shop and a check for $1 million. Says Miss Woods, in other words, celebrate them we must, or lose $1 million we will.
People in a town in Marin being told by their government to dress up as Ewoks and dance around for the benefit of George Lucas. Your last story of a goading government comes from Morocco.
Gentlemen, please be seated while you do your business. That's the message being sent by Sweden's Left Party to men who use public restrooms. The coalition of socialists and feminists want to ban men from urinating standing up. It's a health, not partisan issue. They're tired of men who lean right and lean left when they relieve themselves. These are men who spray the seat and turn the bathroom floor into a bayou. The first step, replace all urinals with sitting-only toilets. Of course, removing urinals won't guarantee that men sit. Only lowering the ceilings would do that. Of course, even then you could just crouch, and if you're a tall guy using an airplane bathroom, you know what I'm talking about. Party officials deny that the law is overreaching. They cite doctors who say that peeing lady style is better for men's health. It's easier to empty the bladder, and you've got two hands free to check your email.
All right. One of these is a true story about a government perhaps overreaching. From Kerry O'Connor, a Little League league in Connecticut, which has been told they can't use baseballs for their baseball games. From Brian Babylon, a town in Marin County, which has asked, if not insisted, that all the citizens dress up as Ewoks to celebrate George Lucas's wedding. Or from Morocco, Sweden's Left Party, which wants all men to sit down when, as Mo says, doing their business. Which of these is the real story of a government perhaps reaching too far into our lives?
This is a favorite story of mine. It's the Sweden one with trying to ban man standing up while urinating. We just talked about this, and it's making the journals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Making the journals?
Yeah.
You mean like the scientific journals?
The medical community journals.
All right. So you believe, you know that the real story is Moe's. Well, to confirm or deny your assertion, we spoke to someone familiar with this real story.
What the Swedish should do is pass a law that's saying that men should either pee in the urinal or pee in their seat.
That was John Gammel, who wrote a real journal article titled "Why Men Should Pee Standing Up," arguing with Sweden's assertion that maybe they shouldn't. Congratulations, Bradley, you've got it right. You earned a point for Mo Rocca, you've won our prize. Carol Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Thank you so much for playing.
You're welcome, thank
bye
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Walk right in, sit right down. Daddy, let your mind roll on.
And now the game where we ask big names, little questions. If you were a track and field fan in the 1980s and 90s, three names rose above all others, and they all belonged to one woman. Jackie Joyner Kersee rose from East St. Louis to medal in four Olympic Games and be named the greatest female athlete of the 20th century by Sports Illustrated. Jackie Joyner Kersee, welcome to What Made
Thank you.
So they like you here. So are you well known here in St. Louis, where you live? I mean, do people, like, see you in the street? Like, come up and say, jump for me or something? I don't know.
Yeah, they don't ask me to jump. They might ask me, do I want to race?
Do they really?
Yes.
People come up to you? Are you like the big guy in the bar who always gets challenged to a fight? It's like, oh, it's Jackie Joyner Kersee. I'm really drunk. I'm going to go try to race her now.
Well, not quite in the bar, but
You grew up in East St. Louis across the river, right?
You're right.
And you were a talented athlete as a young girl. You were always into athletics?
Yes, I was always into athletics, but I really wasn't really good in track because I started running at the age of 9, and my first race I finished last.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
It sounds like that still bothers you.
Yeah.
What kind of a race was it?
It was the 400 meters, and so I remember saying to myself, the next time out, if I can improve a tenth of a second if I was running, then that meant I was getting better. But sometimes the places remain the same. I was like, okay, I'm in eighth place, seventh place. I'm slowly moving up.
Really? And, so you weren't one of those kids who were like, immediately everybody knew you had a special talent. You had to really work for it.
Well, my coaches might have known, but when you finish in eighth place and seventh place, that ain't special.
No.
I wonder where that kid is who won first place in that race. What is that person?
We read that you actually made your own sand pit to jump in, to do long jump.
Yes.
And that you had to collect sand from all around East St. Louis to make it. Is that true?
Well, not quite around East St. Louis. It was a park and across the street from where I live, and they had a sandbox. And right. So I would convince my sisters, we would take potato chip bags, and we would walk over to the park, and we would fill the bags with the sand and bring it back to our front yard so I could practice on my jumping.
I mean, did any of your siblings say, why don't you just go jump over there? We'll save a lot of time.
See, we weren't supposed to leave the yard.
Oh.
So we would go to the park. So as long as we all went together and came back together.
Yeah.
And then before my mom got home. And we never collected enough sand for me to jump in the pit. But, you know, I was jumping off. We had a porch and a banister. So I would practice my jumping. And my mom didn't know because it was just a little bitty mound of sand.
I love this story of you guys smuggling the dirt. It's like the Great Escape. These little kids are like sneaking over there holding potato chip bags, trying to look nonchalant. So once you started winning, you know, when did you get on the path to the Olympics?
When I was 14, I saw the 76 Olympic Games on television.
Yeah.
And I remember going to my coaches and I asked them, did they think that I could make the Olympics? Because that's my dream. I want to go to the Olympics because I saw women at that time doing what I was trying to do.
Right.
And I was like, wow, well, maybe I can get on TV by going to the Olympics. So that's what I did.
I watched the 76 Olympics. I just said, that makes me tired. I got some more ice cream. But now, I mean, you went to four Olympics. I can't even count your medals. Four gold medals over the four Olympics or more?
Three gold.
Three gold.
A silver and two bronze.
Really? Mm-hmm. Where do you keep your medals now?
Thank you.
And a world record that still stands in the heptathlon, right?
Yes.
Okay. So where do you keep the medals in your house?
Well, they're in a safe place.
Yep. If I were to come over to your house, and I'm not angling for an invitation, but if I were to come over to your house, would I see them? Are they out?
Well, no, they're not out. But
no, really?
Oh, mine would be everywhere.
I was about to say. Yeah. If I had one Olympic medal, I would be wearing it now.
Yeah.
I'd be wearing, this enormous medallion around my neck? Well, that's my Olympic medal.
Yes. With a bowl of Wheaties right in front of
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Really? But you don't ever take them out and just go, oh, yeah.
You know, you could, but, you know, when you look at the gold medals or the silver medal or the bronze medal, it's like, oh, all that hard work. Ooh, them 12 hours. Oh, 365 days of the year. Oh, let me put that away.
Your brother Al is an Olympic gold medal winner.
Yes.
Did you go up competitively with him? Did you ever race him?
I did.
Did you smoke him?
I did.
Did you? If your brother were here right now, would he confirm this story?
Oh, yes, he would confirm.
He confirmed this story.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to say. He wouldn't
but
lie.
But he would also say
yeah.
that he beat me to winning the first Olympic gold medal, though.
That's true.
I'm curious, like, if you're ever on the way to a meeting and you're in a traffic jam, I mean, do you ever just get out of the car and just sprint right there?
You know what? You have those thoughts, but You know, a lot of times you go into the means, you got on heels. But, you know, some people run in heels. But
could you do that? Could you sprint in heels?
No, I could barely walk in them. So I know I'm not prepared to sprint.
This is what I want to happen. That's your dream, Mel. My dream is that Jackie is walking down the street and some guy grabs her purse and runs.
Yes.
That's
no. Exactly.
That's
the
what
iPhone
I see.
Thing. Like when you walk down the street, because there's all this rash of iPhone thievery where people will snatch out of your hands, and so you know people are really protective, but you can just wave it all around. You don't got to worry about anything.
Can you still throw a javelin?
Oh yeah, I can.
Is there ever reason to?
Yeah, if someone steals your iPhone.
Right. Because, yeah. You know, I got the fold-up javelin in my bag.
Yeah.
That's cool. No.
Dangerous runner.
No.
Well, Jackie Joyner Kersee, we are so delighted to talk to you. And we have invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
May Thunder Blast Your Head.
So your name, of course... is Kersee, but how Kersee are you? We're going to ask you three questions about curses from around the world. You learned about these on the website asylum.com. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice, on their voicemail. Bill, who is Jackie Joyner Kersee playing for?
Cynthia Kreider of St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. Your hometown person. Okay, Jackie, here's your first question. In Turkey... they insult rich, entitled people by saying which of these? A. You are a child of pudding. B. May your domestic help regularly look at you in the eye in an insolent way. Or C. You donate to public radio.
So that's none above, right? So
no, you're not going to answer one of the things. I'll review it.
I go A.
You're going to go
pudding.
A, you are a child of pudding. You're right. Very good. Yes. Not being Turkish, we have no idea why they say that. Next question is very good. In Portugal, you might insult a guy by telling him to do what? A, go eat at White Castle. B, go comb a monkey. Or C, go try to reform the international banking system. Those are insults, ways to send them away in an insulting way.
Portugal. Okay, B.
Go comb a monkey. You're right. Very good. Jackie, one more question. Let's go for the gold, as it were. In Iceland, if you get really angry at somebody, you can call them a prumphazen. A prumphazen, which means you're calling them what? A Bjork tribute act. B, a fart chicken. Or C, a dish of overcooked horse meat.
Oh, my God.
In Iceland?
Iceland.
A fart chicken?
A fart chicken.
So we go with the fart chicken.
You want to go with the fart chicken? Yes, it's the fart chicken. Bill, how did Jackie Joyner Kersee do in our quiz?
Another gold medal for her room.
Jackie Joyner Kersee is a track and field legend and the founder of the Jackie Joyner Kersee Foundation and Center in East St. Louis, Illinois. Her new youth athletics program is Winning for Life. Jackie Joyner Kersee, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Jackie Joyner Kersee, ladies and gentlemen.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Brian Babylon, Kerry O'Connor, and Mo Rocca. And here again, your host at Powell Hall in St. Louis, Missouri, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute... Bill builds a rhyme machine out of a DeLorean. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right in the panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, TV producers in Norway are all pursuing a new trend in Norwegian television programming. They now know the only way to make a show there a hit is to make it what?
Well, they were the place that had that that popular show with the Yule log, basically, right?
Right, with the fire. So therefore, so, that they've discovered that the new trend in Norwegian television is shows that are really what?
That are long.
And
boring.
Yes, boring is what we're looking for. It's the new thing in Norwegian TV. A few months ago, as Mo said, millions of Norwegians feverishly tuned in to a 12-hour TV show featuring wood burning in a fireplace. Seriously, we talked about it on the show, but it turns out that show was such a runaway success, other shows have followed its lead. For example, a 7-hour broadcast of a train traveling from Oslo to Bergen, a 134-hour broadcast of a ferry boat making its way up the Norwegian coastline. Half the country watched that.
That's drugs.
Yeah, well, this does answer the question, is the nation of Norway high?
Yes. Well, you know what? We have a version of that here in the States. It's called C-SPAN.
Exactly. Yeah. Brian, the TV show Portlandia, as you may know, is a bizarre, surreal comedy show about the hipsters. People like it? The hipsters of Portland, Oregon. It's not just for entertainment. It's now being used to do what?
Give me a slight push.
An assist.
An assist.
They want people to, apparently they want people to follow the example of Special Agents Armisen and Brownstein.
Oh, they have this video to help people make the city better.
No. I can tell that Mo wants to answer. Shall I let Mo answer?
Damn.
Go ahead, Mo.
Yeah.
They're using it to train police officers.
So close.
The police officers are using it for things to make people safe.
They're using it to train FBI agents.
Okay.
But I'll give you that. Police officers, FBI agents. An FBI instructor contacted the Portlandia producers and requested to use a clip from the show in his terrorism and espionage class.
Yeah, what case can you get?
Well, we don't know.
Like, I've seen pretty much every episode. What criminal is doing anything?
Well, if you found a criminal with a bird on it.
You're right. You're right. Well, you're right.
So we don't know why this guy wants to do this, because he didn't explain. Either he's taking a really outside-the-box approach to teaching counterterrorism, or he's a substitute teacher, and he's doing what all substitutes do, and he's just showing the kids a video.
So, hold on, Peter. Let me get this straight.
Right.
The sequester didn't stop this funding?
No. This goes on, man. Mo, the new Mercedes S-Class sedan, that's the ultra-luxury model, goes for six figures. It has a feature Rolls-Royces and Bentleys just don't have. With the touch of the button inside your Mercedes S-Class, you can now do what?
With the touch of a button, you can do something that can't be done in a Rolls-Royce or in a Bentley.
Yeah, or any other car, as far as
you can put a bird on it.
You can do... I'll take my clue now.
Hey, was that you or my $100,000 car?
What it does is it instantly sucks away flatulence.
No. You're on the right track.
It immediately takes bad odors and it sprays something nice that neutralizes them.
You're close enough. What it does is you can select the odor you want in your car.
Okay, great.
There you are. So it's for the person who's rich and powerful and yet is frustrated that the very air will not yet bend to his will. You get this, Mercedes will provide you in your car an aerosol dispenser with four custom-made scents, right for any occasion. There's sports, that's the name of the scent, if you're going to a sporting event or you're purchasing another NFL franchise.
Well, so, and I'm guessing most just want it to smell like money. There must be like a button for that. But that sounds, it's a way also for guys probably to cover their tracks. Like if you're with a mistress or something, then you can press a button to make the car smell like your wife. So when she gets in.
Because you know what?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Women know scents. That's right, wrong, because a woman will know, like, who's been in this car. That's immediately.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, it's bloodhound, and they have bloodhound DNA. I read that.
And this is precisely why guys should only marry each other.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois, and our upcoming show at Tanglewood in Massachusetts on August 29th. And you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to keep your animals from escaping your zoo. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Janet House, and I'm calling from Seattle.
Oh, it's beautiful Seattle. How are things there?
Well, cloudy.
Yeah.
Rainy.
Well, if it makes you any happier, everybody else in the country is miserable because it's so hot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I lived in New York for a long time, so I can complain about anything.
Okay, then. Anything else you'd like to complain about before we start?
No.
All right. Well, glad to have you with us, Janet. You are going to play the Listener Limerick Challenge. That means that Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Your job, of course, fill in that last word or phrase. Do that twice. You'll be a winner. Ready to play?
Okay.
Here is your first limerick.
I am met with a very impressed stare. Hey, buddy, you're really well-dressed there. Like Tom Selleck, I'm cute in my hirsute zoot suit. It's a coat that is woven from...
hair?
Yes, chest hair, in fact. You love fur coats but don't want the wrath of PETA? There's a solution. For $4,000, you can buy the limited edition male chest hair coat from the British company Arla. Now, of course, your first reaction is like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Sheep, meanwhile, are like, right, now you think it's gross.
It's a British company? Shouldn't it be a Greek company?
You'd think.
But hold on, $4,000?
Yeah.
For $2,000, you can get one made out of back hair.
Wrap off.
Here is your next limerick.
We are Taco Bell's branding elite. We know wording affects how you eat. Renaming can hide what is lurking inside. Call it protein, but don't call it...
meat?
Yes!
Meat.
Rather than get sued for false advertising, Taco Bell is removing the word meat from some of its menus and replacing it with a vaguer term, protein. They're rolling out the so-called Power Protein menu, which sounds nutritious, but also covers their tracks if anything were to, you know, crawl completely accidentally into the meat grinder.
Taco Bell is people. I'm telling you.
Here is your last limerick.
At pet shows, I won't have to try no more. Extreme rarity, that is what I go for. Like Fred Flintstone, I'll get a most useful big pet. Who needs dogs? I'll just buy me a...
dinosaur?
Dinosaur, yes, very good.
Hey.
Public policy polling recently conducted a poll of pet owners and found 52% prefer dogs, 21% like cats, 18% want a dinosaur for a pet. They didn't specify what type of dinosaur, but come on, you saw Jurassic Park. This is not a good idea. Take your dinosaur to the dog park, and he's like, restaurant!
You know, I could just see a guy in a body hair jacket walking a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
It would probably be his choice. Bill, how did Janet do in our quiz?
They are so smart in Seattle.
They are.
Janet was perfect.
Well done. Congratulations, Janet. Thanks for playing.
Thanks.
Now it's time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Ryan has 1. Kara has 2. Mo has 5.
Oh my gosh.
How did this happen?
What?
Oh my gosh. I want to thank my manager. I want to thank my lawyer. I want to thank everyone.
All right. Well, Brian, you are in third place, so you're up first. Fill in the blank. Less than 24 hours after Wendy Davis's filibuster derailed a Texas abortion bill, Governor Blank called a special session for July 1st.
Perry.
Yes, Rick Perry. This week, a Milan court sentenced former Italian Prime Minister Blank to 7 years in prison and banned him from public office.
Berlusconi.
Yes. And what the Hostess Company is calling the sweetest comeback ever, Blank's will return to store shelves on July 15th.
Twinkie.
Yes, in a last-minute rally, the Chicago Blackhawks made 2 goals in 17 seconds to win this year's blank.
Stanley Cup.
Yes, a man in England had to be rescued by police this week after he blanked while trying to make his friends laugh.
Chicken farted.
No. Got his head stuck in a traffic cone. Astronomers announced this week that they have found 3 blanks 22 light years away that could be habitable.
Planets.
Right. The U.S. Department of Agriculture implemented new rules this week requiring that healthier snacks replace junk food in blank.
Vending machines.
No, in schools. An organization in Canada has launched a campaign to get kids to give blank to their teachers as end-of-the-year presents.
Hair body coats.
No. Booze. Forget apples. What teachers really want is a fifth of bourbon. That's according to the new Liquor Control Board of Ontario ad campaign, at least. It says, thank your teacher for a great year, and includes a link to buy a gift card from the local Canadian ABC store. The campaign has been roundly criticized by everyone except all teachers. Bill, how did Brian do in our quiz?
He got 5 right for 10 more points. He now has 11, and that's the lead, Brian.
Very good.
The lead.
We'll see for how long.
All right.
Very diplomatic.
Kiri, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. UN investigators traveled to Turkey to investigate claims that the government of blank had used chemical weapons in its civil war.
Syria.
Right. On Thursday, Jokhar Tsarnaev was charged with 4 counts of murder in connection with the bombing at the blank.
Boston Marathon.
Right. Approximately 13 million viewers watched last Sunday as blank walked a tightrope across the Colorado River Gorge at the Grand Canyon.
Nick Wallen.
Yes. A man in Adelaide, Australia, escaped conviction after being fined by police for blanking.
Driving a car in on across a state.
Walking across the street too slowly. On Monday, fans gathered for a parade celebrating blank's victory in the NBA championships.
But those people, the tall people.
Yes.
They
The heat. This week, to celebrate its 30th anniversary, the game show Blank taped an all Plinko episode.
The Price is Right.
Right. A Massachusetts man who stole a woman's purse was later caught and arrested when police found Blank at the crime scene.
Lipstick.
No. His birth certificate and a letter from his mom.
Oh.
Presumably, the note from his mom said, good luck on your stealing. Zachary Tentoni made off with $40, which is pretty awesome, until he realized he dropped the bag containing his birth certificate and a letter from his mom. It seems crazy he would have brought these along to a robbery, but the last person he robbed had demanded 2 forms of ID before letting him steal her handbag. Bill, how did Kiri do on our quiz?
Kiri got 5 right for 10 more points, so she has a total of 12, and surprisingly, that is the lead.
Oh, Kiri. My goodness. So how many, then? Bill, you seem so disappointed in them. So how many, then, does Mo need to win?
He needs 4 to win.
Fill in the blank, Mo. At hearings this week, Congressman questioned the principal deputy commissioner of the blank over the targeting of political groups.
IRS.
Yes. In spite of her emotional interview in the Today Show Wednesday, more sponsors dropped blank this week.
Paula Deen.
Right. Just recently reapproved for flights. 3 flights on Boeing's blank planes were cut short with mechanical problems this week.
Oh, it's the Boeing Dreamliner.
It is. Hours after escaping from the National Zoo, Rusty the Blank was found hiding out in a neighborhood in northwest Washington.
The Red Panda.
Yes. This week, the CIA's new plan to stop leaks to the media was blanked.
Leaked.
To the media. The cast of The Sopranos turned out for the funeral of actor Blank in New York Thursday.
James Gandolfini.
Yes, Justin Bieber kept a private plane company waiting for 8 hours this week while he was blanking.
Oh, I think he while he was getting a haircut?
No, while he was looking for his lost monkey. And it's a new monkey, too, that he lost.
Okay.
An elderly man in Australia who stole a woman's car was almost immediately captured by police when he blanked.
He almost ran the woman over.
No, he took too long to put his walker in the trunk before driving away. You have to give this armed robber props for keeping active in his old age, but we're thinking that continuing his life of crime probably wasn't what his doctors had in mind. Police say they're just lucky his speedy getaway was slowed down by having to pack up the walker. If he had been on a mobility scooter, there would have been no catching him. Bill, did Mo do well enough to win?
17 points in this week's champion.
Well done.
Okay. I'm not going to argue
Stop
with that.
Stop your arguing, Mo. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, what will President Obama do to finally get people to care about climate change? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Kobo, whose Kobo Mini is a pocket-sized e-reader for reading on the go, available at independent bookstores, store locator at indiebound.org. The National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership, more at houselogic.com/homeownership, and eSurance, an Allstate company with a network of repair shops to handle car insurance claims and provide photos of their progress. At eSurance.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord, and Chief Billiken. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our intern is Miles Boy Next Dornboss. Our whip guru is Beth Novi. And this week, we bid a fond farewell to Gay Williams. She has been the woman in charge of the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me checkbook. Gay, thank you for your patience, persistence, and for not asking any questions about the movies on Ian's hotel receipts. B.J. Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. And we would like to welcome our new financial operations coordinator. Let's just call her our CFO, Ann Nien. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Special thanks to our crew at Powell Hall. Our production coordinator is Showbiz Newhouse. The senior producer is Ian Chillog, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will President Obama do to make people care about climate change? Brian Babylon.
He's going to offer big tax credits on people who buy the foot-powered Fred Flintstone car.
Yabba dabba doo. Kerry O'Connor.
He's going to fry an egg on Mitch McConnell's head.
And Mo Rocca.
Every American will receive an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. in August. Attendance is mandatory.
And if the president does any of that, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Brian Babylon. Kerry O'Connor and Mo Rocca. Thanks to Tom Eady. Phil Donato, everyone at St. Louis Public Radio. Thanks to our fabulous audience here at Powell Hall. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.